Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Alrighty, Rooney. Thank you so much, Dave. God bless you. Always right there when I need him. Well, most of the time. I hope you're doing so well today, you can hardly stand it. This is, indeed, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And guess what? Today's going to be a little different. We always like to surprise folks, and today is going to be one of those surprises. For example, we're going to have a few guests later on, and we're going to have a guest right now because he's going to help me do the show. Jerry B. from Sound Doctrine, how are you?
Always excellent.
You know what? Let me get into a groove where Daoud Saeed turns down a little bit because he's got this customized bed.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I am right here.
Okay. Probably the situation is while we have the music in the background, two of us can't talk. But that's okay. That's okay. He's going to fade out in just a couple of seconds. And I just want to tell folks that what we're going to do is we're going to have music for this hour and feature actually some October babies, folks that are here with us or folks that are no longer with us, but they're all about October. Why am I doing this, you're asking, Trish? You know why? Because it's my show and my birthday is October 16th. That's all there is to it. And now he's fading, and now we can talk, Jerry B.
Well, happy upcoming birthday. My wife's birthday is October 19th. And my youngest sister is October 14th, and my middle sister, her birthday is October 31st. So, wow, wow, wow.
How about that? Isn't that something? October is one of those, it must be that 9 months previous, that must be the best time of year for folks to get busy. I don't know what it is.
I never looked at it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe New Year's Eve evening. I don't know. You know.
Oh, there you go. Enough said. And apparently yesterday was, I think, I heard the most popular day for birthdays.
October or the month or which day?
No, actually, yesterday, the 5th of October.
That's the most popular day for birthdays. Interesting.
It's just one of those situations where everybody and his mama has a birthday on October the 5th. So that was Allison's. You remember Allison?
I do remember Allison, absolutely.
And it was Allison's birthday yesterday.
Wow.
And she's a popular gal.
Yeah, Allison. Happy birthday.
I will. And we're doing this, just so folks know, Jerry B. and I are going to do this somewhat regularly because we thought that two heads were better than one in some regards, and we are spreading a little message of positivity.
Absolutely. Keep it positive.
Yes. And actually, it seems to me, does it seem to you, Jerry, that folks are craving their hands on anything that is positive? Have you noticed that Facebook has exploded with these messages?
Yes, I've noticed, and not only that, but the Twitter page is doing the same thing. People do, you know, I think we've had our cycle, enough is enough, and we're ready to get back to values and standards and a positive spirit.
Yeah, I think so, and the folks that I seem to be noticing most are those that are hungry, and now, maybe a year ago, they wouldn't have asked questions, and now they're asking questions, because we're seeing folks, especially now with Steve Jobs, dropping like flies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, as a matter of fact, went on to the page at about 1:30 that Apple.com had put up. And by the way, I don't own any Apple or iPods or iPads or anything. I'm a PC guy, basically. But I've always respected his innovation. I've respected his visionary leadership and how he really him and Waz made Appboy great company. So I had to post, you know, my own form just out of respect to him and the legacy that he leaves behind.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the quotes that we've seen from mm-hmm. Steve, fascinating quotes. And I wonder if what he said in those, like, past couple of years, he still believed by the time he knew that he was on his way out of this world.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So, it is, because one of the quotes he said, and we'll get into to music, we're going to play some three songs back-to-back, which are just outstanding, but one of the quotes, Jerry, was along the lines of, as you go through life, don't adhere to anyone else's dogma.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting,
right.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, they say the most wise thoughts or words that come out of a person is when they are facing their own mortality, when you're just not thinking that you're going to live forever, when you know that there's an expiration date, so to speak, on this phase of our lives, then, you know, you begin to think a little bit more clearly about the prospect of eternity.
Well, I'll bet you somebody who's thinking about that right now is soon-to-be 91-year-old Yusef Lateef. Doctor Yusef Lateef, isn't that amazing that he is still with us?
Awesome.
Yeah.
And excellent music.
Oh, my gosh. What he has done in thinking out of the box for music is just a revelation, and he continues to do that. So, Jerry, sit back and relax. I'm going to check with you shortly. I want to play a few tunes, and Yusef Lateef is going to kick it off. Now, remember, and I don't want you to feel left out, because I'm just going to do October Babies with a couple of exceptions.
Very cool. Excellent.
Yeah. And then all next hour, it's going to be really crazy, because actually you tell folks who's coming up.
Wow. In the next hour, Philip K. Jones, who is a Niayana label mate of Sound Doctrine, will be coming on and talking about his great jazz hymn CD, and then a young man that I met through social networking, his name is Stephen M. Lee, has a fantastic CD out called Songs in the Key of My Life, and he's going to come on and talk about his artistry as well. So we're going to have a wonderful time together.
We really are, and what we're talking about is some amazing gospel jazz as you have never heard it. But first, how do you like this lineup? Dr. Lateef, followed by Pharoah Sanders, and then Esperanza Spalding.
I'm ready for it. I got my headphones on.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. You know what? Let me do this. We suddenly have a call here, Jerry B. Hold on. Hi, 410 area code. Who is this?
This is one of your favorite girlfriends, Trish Hennessy and Jerry B.
My God, it's Cal.
What's up, you two?
Look at you. Oh, God, what a cool surprise. Wow.
I just wanted to say hi.
Jerry, did you know that Carol Boswell was going to do this?
No, I did not, but I think I texted her this morning. Were you texted this morning, Carol?
Yes, darling, I was, and I was just got it on my email, so I said, let me call in since I'm not working and not sleeping.
Wow.
That is awesome. My God. And, you know, you get so surprised. It didn't even register because I just saw the 410 area code, and I went, all right, let's do it before we get to this music.
Anyway, I'm just listening to you guys. Jerry, it's good to hear you. I just wanted to say
great.
Hello, and look forward to you coming back down again and hearing you guys play.
And by the way, rumor has it that you might be coming in November, B. What's the story?
Yeah, that's rumor. It's a rumor right now. There are no confirmations, but there is a rumor, yes. So we'll leave
wow.
it at that.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
We already know where you're going to stay. So,
yes. You know, beautiful just accommodations are just wonderful with a Martha Stewart-like characteristic. It's incredible.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, Martha Stewart meets Key West, kind of, you know?
That's me. I'm a little cooler than Martha Stewart, though.
Yeah, I just love those little Ernest Hemingway touches all over Carol's house. I love them.
I was telling somebody, this is my beach house that I don't have yet.
And how
Carol
about...
was so wonderful, though. She was so wonderful to us when we came down. I mean, she accommodated half the band there in her residence, and we just...
We had a good time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We had a good time. They were great. I told them they could stay anytime because they are wonderful guests. They clean up after themselves. They're wonderful.
We're jazz musicians, not rock musicians. So.
That's right. I know that's right.
What? No trashing of the room?
No. They were good guys.
Yeah, no instruments were destroyed. You know, didn't throw any TVs out of her window or anything like that.
The one instrument was left by the back door, though.
Oh, my gosh. Was that... that was when, Carol, you had to deliver the guitar to Jerry?
Luckily, I was already going down there anyway, so I just had to speed it up a little bit so the people down there could enjoy them as much as we do.
Absolutely.
Now, I have to say that Carol has this amazing pond in her backyard. Do you still have the fish, or are the fish no longer there, or what?
Oh, they're there. We sat out there on Sunday morning and had coffee and just listened to them and watched them, and I'll tell you, they're mesmerizing. But yes, I do have my pond.
Is the most beautiful garden. That is so tranquil. You go to the Boswell Inn, by God, and you're gonna
the bed and breakfast.
Right.
I love bed and breakfast.
That's BB&B.
There you go. Not just a B&B. This is a BB&B. Anyway. I just called in to say hi to you guys. Jerry, love you, dear, and I will see you when you get down here the next time.
Absolutely. Love you, too, and much appreciation to you, see.
I know. I'll see y'all soon. Trish,
God bless
take care,
you, girl.
Sweetie, and I'll talk to you soon, too.
Very good. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I love it. Why am I thinking this is not going to be the first time this happens today, Jerry B?
It won't be. We sent out quite a blast, but yeah, you're right. You know, Carol is 100% gold. Wonderful.
Yes, she is. She is, and she loves to have guests. I too have stayed at the Boswell Inn, so I know exactly where you're coming from. It's really a great little place because it's right there central to DC or to Baltimore or wherever else you're going to go in Virginia. So, man, this could be like a hostel situation, HOSTEL, for musicians coming to the area.
I don't know. I think we want to claim a Sound Doctrine exclusive, you know. I would make it open to every musician that's traveling in the area. But
that's true.
As long as they don't sleep in my particular room, because I've already staked claim to that.
Listen to you. On that note, here is Russell and Elliot, Yusef Lateef, and this is from 1969, Yusef Lateef's Detroit. Russell and Elliot is actually the name of an intersection in Detroit. How about that? So, we'll enjoy a couple of tunes, and we'll get back to some really fine company here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out. Thank you. The absolutely fearless and fabulous Esperanza Spalding. Yeah, how about that? Unconditional Love is what the song is called, from Terry Lynn Carrington's Mosaic Project. If you pick up a CD this year, pick that one up, because it's an all-female collaboration, just breathtaking. Some of the stars on here are just mind-blowing. Some folks maybe you have never heard of, doesn't make any difference. That's the beauty of it. The folks that aren't household names are just a revelation to you. When you hear something like that, you know, of course, who Esperanza Spalding is at this point. And by the way, her birthday, 10/18. She will turn 27 this year. Man, teaching at Berkeley at the age of 20, that's mind-blowing. Just so you know who you heard before Esperanza, Pharoah Sanders, who will be 81. His birthday is the 13th of October. That was from Thembi, who was his wife at the time, 1971 on Impulse Records. That was Astral Traveling. Lonnie Liston-Smith on piano, Michael White on violin, Cecil McBee on bass, and Clifford Jarvis on drums. Pharoah is one of those guys, and I know that Jerry B. is going to chime in a second or so, but he had this the deep spirit, but yet when you go into yourself like that and then are able to lift up others, that is really amazing. Yusef Lateef started things off, and Yusef, Dr. Lateef, thank you very much, is going to be 91 years old in just a matter of days on the 9th. Four Atlantic albums from the late 60s and early 70s on three CDs. What you heard was Russell and Elliot from, and you'll find it on another compilation as well, but The Man with the Big Front Yard. That's the Four Atlantic albums on a big CD. But we heard the track from 1969, Yusef Lateef's Detroit, and Grammy Award winners, all of these people that we just played. And I know, Jerry B., that you are going to be in that category soon.
We trust and pray. That's what we're trusting.
That's right. How did you like the music?
Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, and that's one thing that really, I just admire that so much about you, because you really do pick music from the heart. I mean, that was the segues, all of that was just, they float. So you do your thing, girl. Yeah, I was just chilling.
Now, you know what? That means everything from you, because you are my gosh, besides being a CEO of your own company, you are a drummer, you are a minister, you are someone who is able to navigate and orchestrate people very with such capability. I don't know of anybody like you. So if you say that, and that means everything to me, that the flow is there, then thank you. I owe you even more than I do.
Oh, it was flowing. I meant that wholeheartedly. That was great. Hey, what else we got? I'm ready for more.
Well, I have to tell you, we're going to get to Roy Hargrove in a second. Yoo-hoo!
Oh, yeah. When is Roy's birthday?
On mine, 10/16.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Man, it is. I have been a CD I haven't heard in about a year or two with him and Herbie Hancock and Michael Brecker. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Brian Blade was on drums. And
I think
on bass. Yeah, it's a live CD, and Hargrove is just killing on that. So, yeah, love his artistry.
And you know what? He is so crazy, because I mean, he's going to be what? Figure it out. He's going to be 42 in a couple of Sundays. He has done so much since he was very young. He's done straight, no chaser jazz to steamy street talk rapping stuff. He's played
right.
with D'Angelo. He's played with Common.
Right.
And,
right.
Again, a Grammy Award winner. And, gosh, he's got such a benevolent spirit that the track we're going to play is from Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, which is from the Disney Jazz Volume 1. compilation. How about that?
That's excellent. I haven't heard of that one, so yeah, I'm anticipating that.
Oh, and Jerry, you'll love this because I didn't know that Walt Disney was so into jazz. Matter of fact, his good friend was Louis Armstrong, and he twisted Louis's arm back in the 60s to make that wonderful Disney album that he made. And Walt wanted to do more, and the folks at Disney are adhering to his wishes now. This is going to be like the start of a series. On this album, check it out, besides Roy Esperanza again, Joshua Redman, Diane Reeves, Regina Carter, Dave Brubeck.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, this is current Brubeck stuff on this jazz?
Yes, this is 2011.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm writing that down, Trish. I'll have that in my collection. For sure.
When you hear these Disney songs come to life, Esperanza sings Chim Chim Cheree.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. I just love her so much. She's just a breath of air that somebody said about her that she is the missing link. We discovered the missing link in jazz because she's able to build so many bridges.
Absolutely. And the same thing holds true with Hargrove, as you said, you know, with just the span of music that he's able to put out without fail. I mean, and be comfortable in any genre. Those are the musicians that I really respect.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fluid. There's, you know, no doubt about it. He can go from one to the other. And now he's got the big band, so... Sure, wait. I have to see his agenda. That would be so awesome for you in Ohio to meet up with some of us in the Baltimore area and go see Roy Hargrove. Wouldn't that be great?
I got my keys in my hand, you know, and we already have a place to stay.
That's true. Oh my gosh, I love that. She will never live that down.
So, you know, just say the word. We're there, you know.
Well, we should tell folks that Jerry B is, this is something that we decided, actually God did. God decided that Jerry B is going to be a semi-regular here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy because he's supposed to be talking to folks. We just have always felt that we were going to do a project together. We definitely feel like a brother and sister. And
absolutely.
Jerry is going to be introducing a couple of artists to you that you need to know because, honestly, Jerry, I was listening to Philip K. Jones the second a few times this week. Stephen Lee has got his own story, and we'll get to that, but it felt like Christmas to hear that CD.
Yeah, it's an excellent CD, and not only does he play piano on it, and we'll talk to him about that, but he's a multi-instrumentalist. I mean, on that, he's playing bass, drums, and piano. It's
wow.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Great. How do you find these people?
You know, interestingly enough, they find me, and I mean that in the most sensitive way that I can put that, and really when they both came to my desk, when the CDs were put on my desk, you know, I remember coming home and telling my wife, I said, you know, I don't know what to do, you know, with these guys because I don't have the resources. You know, I'm not a Sony or a Warner Brothers. And knowing Lori the way you do, you know, she was adamant that I should quit talking that way. She had a few conversations. She says, no, if God wanted them to be there, you know, he knew that you could, you know, they could trust you with their artistry. And so, we're building upon, you know, our relationships with Philip and Stephen, you know, personally as well as professionally. But, you know, I didn't go out on any campaign to try to find these guys. I mean, really, they came to me and came to our company to say, hey, what do you think you can do with this? And really, I had to get on my face and say, I don't know. You know, so we're thankful to you for, you know, introducing them to your audience because I know your audience is going to just love them.
Well, that's so cool. And the beauty of Blog Talk Radio is that these shows get to be archived so folks can listen whenever they want, which is wonderful. And I was so excited about you being on the show today, so I could hear your voice, because you cannot disguise the enthusiasm in your voice when you hear something that tickles you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And music tickles me.
I know it does.
I love it. I'm a musician through and through, and just really learn and grow from the influences that I hear. When you hear Esmeralda or, you know, Pharoah Sanders, who, you know, I used to eat my Cheerios to that guy. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, and my uncle, you know, God bless him, man. He's no longer with us, but he would sit me in front of his stereo and he would teach me how to listen to music. Listen to what that guitar is doing over there. Listen to that keyboard. Do you hear how the saxophonist is just, you know, he's just not playing notes. Do you hear how he's riding over the melody? I mean, he would talk to me in that way. I'm 5, 6, 7 years old. And
that's beautiful.
Like, yeah, I just embrace it. Like, yeah. So, yeah, music speaks to me very deeply.
Well, I'm going to remember that, because that is an awesome thing for a person in the family, a wise one, a kin, to take the time at that young age to introduce you to how to listen to breathtaking music that folks labor over because they love it so much. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And he did not realize his potential as a guitarist. He was a jazz guitarist. And Chai Tea, in fact, was written in his memory from the Sound Doctrine Endurance album. But he really, really was a student of jazz music and a student of all music, actually. And I get whatever little that I can, you know, that has been downloaded to me because of my uncle sitting with me and saying, hey, this is what it's about. You can play music, sure. You can play it, and the notes are right, and that's great, you know, but there's really the spirit behind music, the embracing of what music is actually speaking. Now you're into the realm of being a musician. So
That's wisdom at its finest. Well, here's what I wanted to tell you. In putting this segment together, these next three songs, didn't understand at the time the significance of it. So we're starting off with Roy Hargrove. In the middle is this breathtakingly beautiful woman whose parents were from Casablanca, if you can believe it, from Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Bridget Zeri. She said, pronounce it like Presley, Zeri. She is amazing. And then to end the set is a gentleman who discovered Roy Hargrove in high school. I didn't know that Wynton Marsalis had discovered Roy.
You know, I think I read that. I read that somewhere. They didn't use the word discovered, but I think they described Roy as a protege of Wynton.
Well, actually, Wynton came to his high school in Dallas back when Roy was a teen and went, whoa, whoa. So those are the origins. And then it's going to be really interesting. I'll just let folks know ahead of time so you'll get your appetite whetted. It's Wynton Marsalis that we're going to end this set with, Something New with Eric Clapton.
Excellent. I got my seatbelts on for that one.
Okay. You better. You'll recognize the song, but done in a different way. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Our guest is Jerry B, and we'll have more guests next hour. Let's dip into Roy Hargrove. Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. Title track from Disney Jazz, Volume 1. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
best of this situation.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Jerry B., I've got to ask you if you're okay.
That was very, very, very fat. I mean, that was fat. That's the first time I've ever heard that. That's incredible.
Well, actually, it just came out. It dropped just several days ago. Wynton Marsalis and Eric Clapton got together at Lincoln Center in April. The CD is called, they both, Wynton, Eric, Play the Blues. And you just heard a smack dabbit version of Layla.
That was fat. I mean, wow.
It was like a jump blues in New Orleans.
Yes. I mean, I wonder whose idea was that, too. You know, I wonder which one of them came up with the concept of, hey, let's twist this one up. Because Layla, it's a classic.
Yeah.
And now it's another classic.
And actually, Eric was the one who selected the songs. Wynton arranged them. And, of course, we're playing Wynton because his birthday is the 18th of October. We're playing October Babies. But the bass player, Carlos Enriquez, insisted that Layla be included. And I was telling, we've got a pretty active chat room here, Jerry, and I was telling my friend Griselda, who is faithful in being here each time, that you can hear the regret, now that Eric Clapton is an older man,
mm-hmm.
you can hear the regret in his voice singing that song. That song was written for Patty Boyd, his ex-wife, who was married
uh-huh.
to George Harrison.
Uh-huh.
And what that woman endured, because Patty found out she couldn't have kids, and then she found out that Eric was having a baby with another woman, this Italian actress, and of course Connor was killed when he jumped from the window.
Right.
So
right.
Patty had gotten close to Connor, and stuff was happening with George, and she was embroiled in this relationship with Eric, and Eric absolutely adored her, but as things so often happen, who knows what goes awry, but now he's in a situation where he has many children, Eric, and he's married to a younger woman. But just like Randy Newman can sing songs, and you can tell that he thinks twice about things he's done in his life. That's the beauty of hearing these songs over and over again.
That's right. They mature, don't they?
Yes.
They age with the creator, you know, the one who created them.
Yeah, you start to really think about your life. You know, with all of these people who have been singing these songs, these amazing artists, I'm thinking all the time about Phil Collins. They had these great relationships in their lives, and they threw the relationships away.
Yeah.
And what do you have when you're 70, 80 years old, if you're blessed to live that long, when you're all by yourself, what do you think of?
Exactly. That's good. It's a great analysis.
Wow.
And
so,
I'm not 70, but, you know, and I have very few regrets, but the regrets that I do have, you know, I mean, you know, I take them to heart. I do. Because I did waste some time in my young life. You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, a great poster that I found in the past couple of days. It's on my page on Facebook. Something like, I should remember this, but I don't. But the gist is, life is short. Make decisions now.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is not promised. Make your decision now.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Wow. Woohoo! Anyway, we heard Bridget Zeri, and Bridget, that was from her CD from just this past year. She's working on a new one. Doesn't she have the coolest voice?
Yeah. I mean, excellent. Naive, but I could hear the Casablanca, the Moroccan, you know, I can still hear that in her, but she's so, you know, her delivery was so strong, you know what I mean?
Yes. She's got this this sweetness, but this strength and a vulnerability. And she is absolutely gorgeous. She's a Toronto native. She moved to New York. And I love this. I wanted to share this, and I told her ahead of time. Her dad was a musician, multi-instrumentalist. Mom was a singer. Her brother Joe played the guitar and used to make little Bridget make up songs to his guitar playing when she was small. And she remembers a trip. The family must have been real close. She went on a trip to Buffalo, New York, in a big van that her parents owned. And her parents were sleeping. It was real quiet, except for she heard the jazz club across the street play bebop. And she fell in love at that moment.
Wow.
Not cool. So you heard French, but what the French translation of the song she sang was, "Make Room for Me."
That was a beautiful song.
Yeah, it was. Beautiful. And we heard, too, from Roy Hargrove. Who's and Bridget's birthday is the 9th of October. Roy Hargrove's is the 16th. And Jerry B., we are waiting on Philip K. Jones II, correct?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I'm hoping that your little button lights up in a couple seconds here.
Well, let me ask you. There was a phone call that came in a while ago. Does he have a 513 area code?
No, 513, I believe, is Columbus. His is 216.
Okay. Then that could have been Stephen, but that's cool. And I had told you, since you are the founding father of Sound Doctrine, one of the most awesome groups on this planet, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. After what we just heard, wow. I thank you for that. You know, Sound Doctrine is a group who tries. I mean, we love the music and we try. Thank you. But man, you know, I'm still reeling from the Layla hit. So
I know.
It's a compliment right now after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, Jerry, that is the beauty of this show. As you know, there are some people in this world that are household names. And there are names that aren't yet. As we know, life can change on a dime. But what is happening in the trenches, what's happening in Columbus, Ohio, what's happening in Youngstown, Ohio, what's happening in Baltimore or in the suburbs of Philly, that is such beautiful music because people pour out their heart and soul. It doesn't make it doesn't mean that if Wynton Marsalis or Eric Clapton get played, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily better because sometimes these artists go on their road and sometimes they put themselves on autopilot. These two guys certainly didn't. But there is a hungry aspect to the music that Sound Doctrine has always done. And honestly, I'm listening to Inspire, the latest, and then I went back and listened to Endurance, and I'm blown away because there is such variables within the music that is basically called jazz, but so much more happening besides jazz, and that's the whole idea of the show, Hybrid Jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you have created a platform that, you know, we as a band and many other bands out here independently are searching for because it's not this. It doesn't, you know, fit this genre or this format of a particular radio station or a program director. And, you know, you kind of hang around in the fringes of saying, hey, this is jazz. This is expression. This is what it is. And I'm grateful for you creating this type of format because there are many, many of us out here, who can't really categorize what we do. This is just the expression of what it is. And we have to call it something.
Right.
It has to be given a label, but, you know, it's interesting. There are so many bands. I mean, there's if you've heard of Rare Blend from Cleveland, Ohio, they are a fusion group that is just out of this world, and I'm huge, huge fans of theirs. And, you know, again, they are looking for that place where their music could fit. So I'm going to have to send you some of their music as well.
Vic
Camelot and his wife, Bobby, they create some incredibly really orchestrative type jazz that has a funk and a fusion under it. That, you know, is it Herbie Hancock? Is it, you know, is it Randy Newman? Is it Wynton Marsalis? Who is it? What is this stuff? You know, but hey, you know, Daryl Looney from Fat Funk Click up in New York, another one, jazz violinist, but his music is just incredible. So I mean, there's many of us out here, and thank you for creating the platform so that we
have a corner
of the market, so to speak.
And Jerry, you were the one who said, you said this actually over a year ago, because I had said to you that there was a thought of maybe down the line I might become a minister. I can see myself doing that because God was leading me in a certain direction. And you said, remember that your pulpit can be the microphone.
That's right.
And you can do this on radio. So it really has all of this become a ministry. Folks need to get heard, and you're right. These people are chomping at the bit. I am imagining Rick Braun's anguish, and he is going through some anguish because, you know, here he had this smooth jazz label attached to him, and he was like trying to get the rope from around his neck. Please, don't do this. I've got this Chet Baker thing inside of me, and I want to do it. And he brought it out. I love it, and so many other people love it, but others don't. So now he's wondering, and I know he's bummed. He's not really saying it, but it wasn't received with the love that he wanted it to be received with, because people are insisting that he stay on that smooth jazz bandwagon, which is, can I say this?
Yeah, say it. Come on, it's your show.
To my way of thinking at this particular moment in time, when you say smooth jazz, it's the kiss of death.
Yeah, it's been interesting because there are a few artists that I talk to that are on a higher plateau than Sound Doctrine and have really had the airplay, had the format, you know, of smooth jazz, and once the format changed, we sort of, you know, it was like the great equalizer in one aspect, because radio stopped playing them, they changed formats, and they have to reinvent. I mean, from Brian Culbertson to Bob Baldwin to, you know, whomever they are, you'll see that the title has changed to urban jazz, to pop jazz, J-pop, you know, and all of this stuff. You know, when, I mean, really, this is no, hear my heart when I say this. I knew that when we put Sound Doctrine together, especially during the time that we were creating Endurance, that we really needed to stay away from the smooth jazz label. We started calling it, as you know, Original Alternative Funk Jazz Fusion, you know.
Yeah.
And that would totally tick off the program directors. It would. I'm not playing this, you know. And so, okay, well, that's what it is. But at the same time, when we saw the axe coming down on smooth jazz, we knew that we were in a safer place because we really never identified ourselves as such. Now, we didn't make any money during that period. You understand what I'm saying? When it was all about smooth jazz, and that's everybody was smooth jazz. Even like the Crusaders. I mean, come on, give me a break. The Crusaders, smooth jazz, but they had to follow that road. So you really pushed the button in me now. I'm trying to shut up.
No, baby, go ahead.
I'm really passionate about that aspect of it, because really a musician is a musician, and Rick Braun should have the freedom to play the music that's in his heart. I remember going to see Herbie Hancock up in Cleveland. This was right out of the time, I mean, he was doing all the funk stuff. Everybody was expecting, you know, Rocket. They were expecting Watermelon Man. They were expecting all of this. And dude came to the front row in Cleveland and played a very upscale, classically driven jazz set, and people walked out. They walked out. And let me tell you something. I would never forget this. I was about 15 years old. He said, after the crowd was leaving in droves and the few of us that stayed, he said, now we can really get down. Now we can really have a party. because this is who I am. If you're going to take Herbie Hancock, you're going to take all of me because this is what it is. It's not just what my latest, you know, my latest hit is, or you know, what I'm known for, what I won a Grammy for. Yeah, that was cool, but this is me as well. And
that's
I've always adopted that and migrated it to it. Who said that Rick Vaughn can't do a Chet Baker thing? So what? It's a beautiful thing. If you love Rick Vaughn, you love him. His music and what he's bringing to the table is the essence of who he is. So radio, be damned. Do the artist should do what they love to do.
And here's the sad, deep down truth of this, Jerry. You have this criteria in that whole smooth jazz world. It's falling away, thankfully. It took a little time, and we're not even going to delve into the conversation about who is responsible because I think that a lot of us know. But anyway, you know, here are these basically guys involved in this genre, this spinoff of jazz, and they know that they have to feed their families. So they kowtow to what is expected of them. And what happens is that you get artists who are turning out some, quite frankly, mediocre work because...
Worse than mediocre. And it's true, and you know that's not that artist's true potential, but it's cupcakes. It's surface stuff. You know, you would hear things, and you would listen, and you go, well, what is the difference between this song and the last one that went off? I mean, they're in the same key. It's the same melody structure. It's produced by the same guy or company, and it's just fluff. It's cookie-cutter fluff. And it really isn't the essence of jazz. It shouldn't even be called jazz. It should just be called music or elevator stuff. It's not jazz. It's
Yes, what they are vanilla instrumentals.
That's great. That's wonderful. I mean, really, vanilla instrumentals, that's it. And ultimately, we all saw what the industry, unfortunately, has become. When you and I grew up, in the 70s, and you could play the Doobie Brothers, you could play George Clinton, Funkadelic, you could play Wynton Marsalis, you could play, I mean, you could just go on the spectrum, and it was all, like, accepted that this was that person's characteristic. I can dig War. I can dig Eric Clapton. I can dig, you know, whomever, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Pharoah Sanders, and the Crusaders, and Youssef. I mean, you know, we can dig that and accept it for what it is, but then somewhere along the line in radio, we got this segmentation and demographics because it wasn't about serving the people anymore. It was about serving the corporations and getting as many ads. Well, what does ads mean? Well, we got to get these commercials on, so we have to have the largest listenership, so we have to kind of create formats. And along comes smooth jazz. And, yeah, the tension is, I need to feed my family. I have to feed my family. I'm away from home. I have to do that. I have to live out here on the road. And if I'm not on the radio, then nobody's going to come to the show because they don't know who I am. But I got to, you know, so am I going to play the game or am I going to be true to myself and maybe keep a part-time job, you know, in order to keep the food on the table? But I can sleep at night because what I've actually given to those listeners, the few of them that there may be, is my heart. I've given my spirit, and I think at the end of the day, that's what matters.
You said that very well, and some of those artists have risen like cream to the surface. Others are laboring, and that's what they're doing right now. They're laboring because they don't know what else to do because their talent skills may not be as vast as everybody thought that they were, God bless them. But we have this situation now. It's very exciting, you know, not to cast negativity on this whole situation. The whole demise of these smooth jazz stations has taught us this, that now we have to rethink how we are going to save jazz. So for those people who love that genre, they are running as fast as they can to keep up, to create, to make sure that it stays afloat. And honestly, there are artists that you and I know, Jerry, that are creating this wonderful music. And that it's all coming at the same time. This show, what people are thinking, what they're saying, what they're doing. And I really do think, just as you said, these corporate types were trying to find a way for their dollars to fit, not something that is breathtaking in order to put money in. All it takes, and here's a little secret, this Monday on Cool Jazz Conversations, Joy and I will have Kyle Eastwood on the show.
Oh, that's
what's up. So I'm thinking it's going to take his dad, it's going to take a Clint Eastwood or a Bill Cosby or somebody who is older, who loves jazz, who is thinking, okay, I got maybe 15, 20 more years maybe to live. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with my money? Let's invest for the future. Let's see if we can have something like this show on 24 hours a day, a commercial radio station, to incorporate all of it. All of it.
And I agree with that, but there's a slight exception that I take with the idea that jazz needs to be saved. I think when we look at the origins of jazz music and American music, that jazz came onto the platform not needing anybody. You know, the pioneers said, this is what it is, and actually you come find us. And that, you know, when you look at Dizzy and Miles and Horace Silver and the cats who were really doing it, I mean, it's like Charlie Parker, here it is. This is what it is right here. Now you come over here because this is where it's happening. And I think when it flipped that the musicians decided that they needed to go to what radio was doing, that's when it all fell to pot. But you know, I think with what you said about Clint Eastwood and Bill Cosby with respect to them having the capital to keep an online radio station, I think that the guys going back into the clubs, not really worried about, and here's me, this is just little Jerry from Youngstown, Ohio. I'm just saying, with respect to if we get out of the 50,000 seat, a million seat amphitheater, and we go back to the street and to the heart and to those smaller clubs where jazz was born, it's going to spill over, and then we really won't need, I hate to say this, we really won't need radio from the corporate standpoint. I'm not talking about Blog Talk Radio and, you know, the great shows that have been birthed because the corporation, like the Big CC, gave up on it. But I think that jazz has always had an identity factor that this is my heart. I'm putting my heart right on the stage. And when you see that and when you ignite with that, it's so magnetic. You hear a Charlie Parker run and you stand up. You stop what you're doing. This guy put his heart on the stage and you said, okay, I can identify that, and it becomes magnetic. And so it really doesn't need, quote unquote, the corporate structure, the this and the that to make it what it is. It just is. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense, and I have to tell you that that's really funny, because usually I'm the liberal hippie waving peace and love signs all over the place, but you got me beat in this regard. Because, first of all, this is a very fast food society, and that incorporated into that thought is out of sight, out of mind. If you don't have a radio station playing these artists, everybody becomes R&B, because there are stations that are still playing R&B.
Right.
You have people who won't support if they don't hear you regularly, which is very sad, but I have found that to be the case. I mean, talking to dozens of people in Baltimore, you know, who are just so sad because doors have closed to clubs. So there has to be a radio station, and I don't mean online, Jerry. I really do mean a commercial terrestrial radio station, because the only way for people to understand that jazz is alive and well is through their pocketbooks. So if there is a radio station, I'm not saying a corporate, I don't even want to hear the place where we worked, the CC, from Hell Company. I'm talking about a mom-and-pop situation whereby it's old school, it's run by people who are local. You have local talent playing a lot of local music, as well as the other artists that are internationally and nationally known. And you see how that does. That does well, by golly, by gumption, we're going to have clones all over the country, and people are going to see that as a prototype. That's what I mean.
That's true. That's true, and it goes back to the fact of what you said about Walt Disney having an intense love for jazz and wanting to create a platform for it, and the Bill Cosby of the world being able to do the same. And I know that Bill is listening to us right now, so
listen, you laugh, but apparently word has gotten to him.
I'm serious. No, Bill, and he's come to Youngstown a few times. In fact, there's this place that we in the Youngstown community love and adore. It's called Handel's Ice Cream, homemade ice cream. It's been here for about 100 years. And the company, send ice cream to Bill Cosby. They ship it to him regularly. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me? He is choosing food outside of Philadelphia because, Bill and I are Temple University folks, and how he feels about food in Philadelphia. He loves food, but he's going to Ohio to get his ice cream? What?
Handel's ice cream, yes. It's a fact.
Wow.
That's a fact. Yeah, so I wasn't being facetious at all. I mean, yeah. Yeah, Bill's he's a jazz lover, and he's one of the ones, and here's another pulpit that I'll try to stay out of. But he was one of the ones who was not afraid to speak his mind, although he got lambasted from the African American community for his thoughts and his blunt way of putting how our people should be back on point. And unfortunately, the backlash of what happened was greatly disappointing. But I just applaud him for speaking his mind and speaking what was true and right.
Well, there are people who agree or disagree with it. But the fact of the matter is, having not known Bill personally through the years, but knowing him from a young girl in Philly, he always wanted people to step up to the plate and be their best. And honestly, he can say whatever he wants to say. If you have a son, an only son, who is murdered, and you have the bravery to come out of your deep depression to face people, and you speak from the heart, you have the right to speak anything you want to.
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah. Man, 216. I'm going to answer this phone, Jerry B. Here we go.
Okay.
Enter and sign in, please. 216. Who is this?
It's Philip Jones.
Hey, Philip. I thought so.
How are you?
How are you? I'm so glad you joined us. Oh, Jerry, what a nice voice. Philip.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Good.
Tennessee for the first time on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Yes. It's a real privilege to have you here. I was telling Jerry earlier, Philip, that I've been listening to your beautiful jazz hymns, and I made it a point today. This is kind of rare for me to do because I'm listening to so much, but I made it a point today to say, where is it? Where's Sacred Hymns? Because I needed to hear it. It makes me feel like Christmas is nigh. Christmas is almost here, and that's the kind of feeling you put inside of me.
Wow. I'm glad that the music was able to do such a thing for you.
Absolutely. You just have a touch. Where did you come from, and how did you hone your talent? Because you're a multi-instrumentalist, Jerry told me.
Yes, ma'am, I am. Well, I come from Cleveland, Ohio, born and raised, and I've learned how to play at church, right at church, and, of course, at home with my father, who's a pastor. He's also a musician himself.
Ah.
And when I turned 8 years old, because I was growing up playing drums very early, and when I turned eight, that's when my dad started to teach me how to play the organ. I always wanted to learn how to play because he was doing it, and he showed me how to do it, and it just went from there.
That's cool. Absolutely wonderful that your father is a pastor, and you must have known that you had a gift early on. Did your dad know that?
I want to say that he did. I want to say that because, you know, like I was saying, you know, I started playing drums when I was 3 years old.
Amazing.
I was playing at church. Before he started pastoring, I was playing at church at four years old on a regular basis. And then when he started pastoring, I was, you know, continuously playing drums. And I just always had an inkling to want to play the organ. Simply because he was already doing it and always sounding good to me at the time. I mean, he still does now. And it just went from there. And fortunately, it's been passed down even from my late grandmother and my grandfather, as well as my late great grandmother too. So it's pretty passed down.
I love that. Isn't that very cool when you consider, hey, there must be some kind of music gene happening in this family. I love
yeah.
that. Well, Jerry B., tell me how you and Philip met, because this is one of those scenarios that seems absolutely perfect, this partnership.
Yeah, I think so, and I remember, you know, Keith McKelly, who was playing with Sound Doctrine at the time, he introduced me to Philip through his music first. He gave me a CD that he was working on with Phil, who played saxophone on it, and that was The Meaning of Christmas, which is a great CD that Phil put out. In fact, he can talk about the new Christmas CD that he has coming out in November.
Woo-hoo!
But he gave me a copy of the CD, and I was just blown away by it. I mean, it was so professionally done. The production was, like, flawless. The musicianship was incredible. And, of course, as you and I know, that's something that I aspire to. And I think you can correct me, Phil, if I'm wrong. I think I just called you up just to say, hey, man, I'm digging your music. And, you know, told him a little bit about Nia Yana and what we were trying to do and put together the team. And the rest, I guess, is history. I may
yep.
be leaving something out, Phil. You may chime in on that, but I think that's exactly how it happened. I have said also to you, Trish, that when I got the rest of his music, the actual production of it, I came home and lamented to my wife that I think I spit off too much, you know, far more than I could chew. This stuff is great.
That's pretty much how it went, though.
That's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My friend Keith McKelly, who, like he said, who was playing with him at the time, had introduced me to him. And,
yeah.
And I sent the music, sent my first gospel CD down there to him, as well as the Jazz Christmas CD at the time. And it just went from there, you know, like he said. You know.
And Philip, what is it that you want to accomplish with this CD or any musical endeavor that you do? What kind of vision do you have for you? Is it something, do you have a dream? Do you just want to keep making music? Because it's fabulous, the music that you are making. But I always have to ask about dreams. What are yours?
Well, I definitely want to keep, you know, making music because that's just been my whole life. That's what I've always wanted to do. And the other dreams, you know, along with the music, is I definitely want to, you know, make it national and or even international, you know, to get it out there even on bigger venues, you know, and to just grow as an artist, you know. That's what I ultimately would like to do, is get it out there as big as the other jazz greats or anybody else, you know.
Now, let me ask you this, and I'll just come clean because, honestly, this is my new thing. Jerry said a little while ago, Jerry has said a couple of times, he's alluded to the fact that we grew up in the same time. Jerry, I know that I've told you, and I've been doing a lot of thinking in the past several weeks, and I certainly am going to do this on Facebook when the time comes, but on October 16th, I'm going to be 59. So we did not grow up at the same time.
Beautiful.
So God bless you for thinking that.
Beautiful.
Well, you look like you've grown up in the same time as I have. Let's put it that way.
Well, okay.
And you wear it well.
That's just God. And speaking of which, Philip, this is my question. We did this long and winding road to ask you this. Do you want to focus strictly on the gospel jazz side of things? Are you willing to do other kinds of music? If somebody comes to you and says to you, I love your style. I love the way you play. You just make me so joyful. But I also want you to dip into some Coltrane stuff or maybe a little flavor of Miles Davis or Eddie Harris. What would you say?
Well, those artists are my influences as far as on the composition end as well as on a performing end. I would love to do some of their music.
You okay.
Know, if you have listened to the jazz hymns as well as my Meaning of Christmas album, you will definitely hear those type of influences on the composition and even the horn players that have played with me. You can tell that those were some of their influences as well. So,
I definitely hear. I mean, as I am getting more and more into the trying to get the balance of the show, I am delving straight ahead into the straight ahead. So I'm hearing so much now, I'm able to, without looking, go, okay, I can hear the difference between Eddie Harris and whoever else from that time
right.
playing. Mm-hmm. So I hear a lot in you, and I just know that you gravitate because of your background to the gospel side of things. So I wanted to ask you.
Oh yeah, if somebody was to, you know, ask me that, I would gladly dive into it and re-record some of their music. I would gladly do that.
Okay, that's good to know. That opens up a whole nother journey for you, and I want folks to hear what we're talking about now because Jerry and I put our heads together, and I said, "Okay, I know that I have my favorites on this CD," and Jerry picked a song out. There was a couple of others, but we really did agree on this. We're going to play your version, Philip K. Jones, "Oh How I Love Jesus."
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I just said how old I was going to be, and now I'm ma'am. Doggone it.
You did it to yourself.
I know, I did it to myself. All right, this is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and we've got Jerry B. with us, and we also have Philip K. Jones, the second, from his Jazz Hymns. And actually, it's got a longer title than that. And the title of it is Jazz Hymns, Faith of Our Fathers, Volume 1 and 2. There are a lot of tunes on this package, and one of the tunes that just really jumps out, and not just for the obvious, but it's "Oh How I Love Jesus." Check this out.
Thank you.
There is no doubt there was some kind of divine plan with that particular song. Oh, my gosh, just beautiful. Here we are on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You just heard Philip K. Jones II, Oh, How I Love Jesus, from Jazz Hymns, Faith of Our Fathers, Volume 1 and 2. You have to know that Philip here, our guest along with Jerry B., unbelievable, all arrangements on these exceptional tracks, for the most part, drums, piano, organ, keyboards, bass, done by Philip K. Jones II. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Just beautiful how it all worked out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. It's nice to be able to play artists of your caliber, Philip, because this is the whole premise of the show, to make sure folks know what's out there.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And both of you, tell me, what is it like? I wanted to ask both of you this. You're in Ohio. Where do folks get to play jazz? Where can they go to hear live music in the state of Ohio? Uh-oh.
Phil, I'll take that. Okay? Phil, you can take that.
Okay.
Well, in Cleveland, there's not many, unfortunately, there's not many places to play jazz anymore like there was maybe 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
However, there are a few jazz clubs to go play or to go hear some great jazz, such as one place by the name of Nighttown Jazz Cafe. And there's another place where I play every Thursday, which I will be tonight with Robert Hubbard, and it's called the Favorite Bistro. And we definitely play a little bit of everything, and we definitely play some jazz there, and we definitely play some contemporary jazz there, all in the same night. So.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to hear you have a regular gig. Yay.
Yeah, thank God. You know, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing that outside of playing at church on a regular, you know. And then there's some other places in Columbus that I know of, you know, to play jazz as well. And that's all I know about it in Ohio.
Well, my late sister lived in Ohio, in Cleveland, as a matter of fact. She lived in Chagrin Falls. Thank you very much.
Wow.
And I loved Cleveland, and I certainly have known for a while that it was always a pretty much rock-oriented town, of course, because that's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. But, you know, just thinking about the fact that both of you are from Ohio, and Jerry and I run in our mouths about jazz and supporting live music, hey, it would behoove to ask where one can go to hear. Jerry, how about Youngstown?
Youngstown is about an hour east of Cleveland, and very much a walk town as well. And you constantly have to reinvent yourself in what you're doing. And one of the things that I was blessed to do was to begin producing the Youngstown Jazz Fest, which we did this past July, the first annual Jazz Fest. And we'll be doing it again 7th, 2012. And so we're definitely on point as far as reinventing what jazz looks like to Youngstown, Ohio. If I were playing top 40 or cover music, I would have a regular gig like Phil. But when I want to play jazz, I come to Baltimore.
Right.
Hey, well, I mean, that's got a good point and a bad point about it. We love to have you, that's for sure. I know that you're from Ohio, but I always think of you as part of Baltimore anyway.
Well, we call Baltimore our second home. I guess we've been down there about 8 or 9 times now in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and, you know, really have latched onto and grateful for some of the great promoters that are down there, Roger Harris, Robert Smoot, and on it goes, you know, Tony Perry, and thankful for the opportunities that we've been given. But, you know, I'm of the mind that, you know, if I was just a musician, I find that I would stifle myself. I think I have to be more than that. And part of putting Niyayana together was to create a platform, not only for jazz artists, but other artists who just want to really follow their vision and just create a platform of working with them to realize that goal. Now, we have a lot more that we want to do and that we want to be able to do, but we're just taking the baby steps to make sure the foundation is being laid properly. And with a talent like Philip K. Jones, I'm very optimistic that we're just going to go further and further and that he will be that household name that we think he will become.
Well, you know, one of the things about Philip is, and I see that we've got Stephen. We're going to get to Stephen momentarily because he has just popped in. Yay! The interesting thing, Philip, is that when I hear this CD, I would think that you had recorded this in a studio somewhere in New York or in L.A., because that's the kind of class that you bring to this whole package. It just sounds like something that is state of the art. I know that when this show ends today, I'm going to get some messages or phone calls from people in the Baltimore, D.C. area saying, okay, tell us more about this Philip K. Jones. You know how that goes, because it's a wonderful thing. You just can't help it that folks are going to be looking over their shoulder going, man, this cat sounds good. I better start to tighten up my chops here.
Oh, man.
Honestly, that's the impression. It's just a really well-crafted CD.
Man, thank you so much. I have one announcement, like Jerry told me to do a little bit earlier on this show. I do have another CD coming out next month on Friday.
On when?
On Friday, November 18th, it's another Christmas album. It's on the gospel end, and we'll be releasing that on that date, Friday, November 18th, here in Cleveland, Ohio. It's definitely geared toward more choir type of singing, and it's going to be a great CD. It's going to be a great
CD. No doubt. And Christmas CDs, oh my gosh, especially when they come from the heart and it's not just something an artist did because they had to do a quota for a given year.
Right.
You know how that goes. Let's say hello to Stephen. Stephen, is this you?
Yeah, how you doing?
How are you? It's good. We've got, this is great. We've got Jerry, we've got Philip, and we've got Stephen Lee here, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate all the time that you guys are giving me, because I know you're men and you step away from work for a bit to talk to the radio host. But
yeah, this is my work. This is my work. Music
yes,
is
it
what
is. That is true. You could be doing other things, but I'm glad you chose to do this, Jerry B. So, Stephen, tell us, you knew Philip first. So how did you and Philip get together, and then how, I guess, you came to Jerry B.'s attention because of Philip?
No, I think I met Jerry first, if I'm not mistaken. I met him through a couple of months ago, when this CD first came out, I was just, on the internet, just looking for people to get in contact, during the network thing. And his name came up, and it's been a blessing ever since. We've talked, not maybe once every other week, but, it's just been, he's just been helpful just, each time we talk. So I haven't, I haven't met in person, but just the spirit. Just over the phone, I could just tell the type of person I am. So I thank him for this opportunity, and thank you also.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. When I heard Music in the Key of My Life, first of all, I thought, how cool is this? Because you open up the CD, and the actual CD looks like a vinyl record. I love that. Love it.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
And then...
That's,
You just were a little bit of a creative thinker, and I like this too. It's also another elegant package because it's you on the cover at the piano, mm-hmm. and then inside, whoever the photos by Darius Williams. Darius did a great job at capturing that look inside. So your face is smiling. You're looking down. And on top of your face is what you have to say to the listener, which is wonderful.
Oh, thank you, because a lot of times I don't think I'm photogenic, so it's kind of hard for me to smile a lot. But for some reason, he did something to make me smile, and he got a good comment. Most times, you know, I'm a nice person. People think I'm not so nice because how I look. My wife, she said I never smile a lot. But that's just how I am, you know. It's nothing personal, just. You know, I just have a serious face.
Well, this particular smile is absolutely disarming. So when I see you smile like that, I go, oh, my God. Then I know that I'm going to hear something totally believable. And I'm telling you, it's just a beautiful piece of work. Music in the key of my life. My gosh, Jerry, you have two men here who, first of all, are deeply spiritually inclined, and we're all on the same page as far as that because we're all pretty vocal Christians. But to be able to convey that musically is unbelievable.
It is. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man, and as Stephen said, you know, just received an email through LinkedIn. And, hey, man, can I send you my CD? And, you know, I'm always looking for something, but I got to admit, and I think I told Stephen this the first conversation we had, I really didn't expect much. I apologize, and you know, I didn't mean that insensitively, but, you know, I do receive emails all the time, honestly. I do, and you know, you get things that come in, and you go, okay, well, that was great, you know, and you want to encourage people and you know, you don't want to deflate anybody's balloon, but when that CD arrived and in the mail, and I mean, I got to the second song and I started emailing him because it's like I can't believe the music that's on this, and brought it home. We had family night, and we were sitting around. My oldest daughter was here from school, and we're listening to this, and I'm going, okay, guys, you did it to me again. The first one was Philip K. Jones, and this piece of music from Stephen Lee. What are you expecting me to do here? Because I don't have deep pockets. So what am I supposed to do? And just knew immediately that at some point, even though he's in Memphis, Tennessee, and Phil's in Cleveland, they're going to have to hook up and do something because. Their talent is so incredible, but their styles are so different, which I think that they could complement each other. And I'm looking at putting a concert or something together to make sure that they dialogue this Blog Talk show right now being one way, but to be able to see both of them live is going to be incredible. I'm going to have to seat near the exit.
Well, you know what, Jerry, just as you were able to talk to them, and just as you're thinking to yourself, how is this particular situation going to work? You know God's going to open up a door for you to make that happen. You've just spoken that into existence. This is exactly what is supposed to be. It's part of this divine plan. It's going to happen.
Definitely. And I know it is. And there was no way. And Stephen, at this time, you know, he's not what we would call a Niyayana artist. Philip is. But I said to him, you know, from my spirit, it's like, you know, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I got to do something in order to support this music because your artistry is incredible. And so we'll just let Holy Spirit figure it all out. And he knows what he's going to do, and we'll just roll with it.
Yep.
That's very cool. Very cool. And Stephen, we heard this from Philip, but and by the way, for folks who are in the chat room and folks who are listening, I made it a point to get more time today, so we have another roughly 30 minutes or so, and we'll do what we need to do to play two more songs and to hear from Stephen. What was your background, Stephen? How did you get drawn into music?
Church. I grew up playing piano in church. I started at eight. Started taking piano lessons in elementary school. But I wasn't really serious about piano. I was more serious about drums. So I played drums all the way up from, you know, junior high to high school. I mean, I was very serious about drums. I played, you know, in the band, and I was a majorette drummer. You know, something they have down here. We do competitions in different schools. So I was really big in, you know, drums. So when I got to college, I studied with a jazz pianist by the name of Donald Brown, and he just opened up a whole other world of jazz piano. You know, he introduced me to cats like Wynn Kelly, Bobby Timmons, you know, Herbie. And when I was studying with him, I got more into, you know, straight ahead music, straight ahead jazz. So, you know, what he is really big with. So I, you know, did it straight ahead for a while. And at the same time, I was still playing drums and, you know, still playing for churches here and there. Moved to Vegas for about a year and a half and played the Vegas scene. Spent, you know, a half a year or more in Europe playing different hotels and different places in Paris and Switzerland. Then I moved to New York in 98. And
wow.
I spent about 13, 14 years up there. New York was a blessing to be there. I mean, it's just so inspiring because there's so many great musicians there. There's so much you can learn from. And I'm a musician. I like to learn. You know, I like to be around musicians that plays much better than me, so I can learn something from them. You know, I'm serious. I like being in the. I like being in the center of the best musicians. I mean, because I just want to absorb all that information they have. You know, that I can learn from them.
Well, you like being a sponge. And actually, that speaks volumes. When anybody says that means to say that you are quite secure in your own talent. You just want to be in a situation where there are catalysts to inspire you to be the best.
Oh, yeah.
Make use of the gift that you have.
Yes, 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 yes. And Memphis is not a big jazz town, but it's a gospel city. So it's a lot of great gospel musicians down here. So I try to, you know, learn from that size of it too, you know. So I'm always, you know, it's classical, gospel, jazz, R&B, whatever it is. I'm just, you know, just trying to keep growing, you know, as a person and as a musician. So, you know, I just thank God for the gift he's given me, you know, and to be humble and to just want to learn, you know, from other great musicians.
Well, I have to tell folks that you really are a jazz aficionado because you named one of your daughters Naima. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
That's so awesome. Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's my favorite Coltrane song, and that's the first thing that popped out when I saw the CD.
Wow.
I went, yo.
Yeah, she don't know. She's connected to jazz forever. She really don't know it yet, but she's six, but she doesn't know she's connected.
Wow.
And that's so funny because this is such a small world. One of my guests later on this month is Carl Grubbs. And Carl Grubbs' cousin was Naima Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild because Carl grew up in Philadelphia, and, of course, John Coltrane was there. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's the story about the kid in the bass guitar case listening to all the Coltrane stuff. And now Carl is a teacher and a very wise man who plays John Coltrane and other sax pieces.
Mm.
Wow.
It's so interesting how music goes on. People have passed, but the greatness of the music continues to live forever.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, you're right.
I just love it. We're going to get to Stephen Lee right now from Music in the Key of My Life. Jerry and I, once again, Stephen, we did this with Philip. We were thinking about different tunes, and Jerry said, here are my suggestions. I'm so glad he suggested this because Glorious is one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Now, why did you choose to record that? Because I love me some Martha. go ahead.
Oh, that's what, maybe because of the Latin flavor, you know, that this is interesting to me in the song. You know, it has a sort of a Latin groove to it. But I wanted to, you know, kind of take the song and do something with it, and I just wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. I just wanted to do something different with it. So the intro, if you listen to the intro, is really based off this John Coltrane Countdown. The first, the chorus of it. Kind of listen to it. It's a cycle that John Coltrane do with Countdown, and the first, I think maybe three chords of it is based off that. Then it goes into a Bach. I think maybe Invention 9, if not mistaken, goes to maybe four measures of Bach, then goes back into goes into the top of the song. So I just wanted to be creative with it. Just wanted to have fun with it.
That's it in a nutshell. Creativity equals fun, and once you do that, and once you know that you've put your imprint on it, you affect people forever. That's the cool thing. Love it. Well, we're talking to Jerry B. from Sound Doctrine. He is my semi-regular guest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We also have Philip K. Jones II, and we have Stephen Lee, and you're about to hear something from Music in the Key of My Life. This is Stephen Lee's take on Glorious. Yeah, and it's a glorious day, actually. make your praise glorious. Lord, have mercy. That is woohoo. That was some awesome stuff. Stephen Lee, glorious, from Music in the Key of My Life on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Stephen, I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
You were making some brothers work really hard on this CD. You were making, let's see, James Sexton work hard on those drums. You were making Doc Samba work really hard on that bass.
Thank you. Just having fun.
It was wonderful.
Wow.
Absolutely wonderful. And now we've got this, we've got actually maybe about 10 minutes or so. So I want to ask each of you, Stephen, we'll start with you since we just heard a song. What is it that you would like to impart to people who are listening about you and your music?
Music gonna kill my life. That's just a testimony of things that I've done over the last, 20, 25 years, the music that I've learned, people that influenced me, from jazz pianists to from classical piano players to, funk, just a collaboration of my life. It's a story I'm telling in my music. Of all the songs on the CD, it's a story behind each song. So I just want to know that when you listen to my music, you don't know me, but you you're listening to a story. I'm telling a story. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just telling a story about Stephen Lee's life.
That's awesome. And do you have a website? Where can folks get in touch with you?
You go to www.stephenmlee, that's StephenMLee, jazz.com.
www.stephenmleejazz.com. Okay, that's great. That's important to know for folks to stay in touch with you and your music. And
yes, thank you.
Philip K. Jones II, what do you want to say? And you're welcome, Stephen.
Well, my welcome statement, I just want to give people, a good message, in my music, whenever I play. That's what I want to impart in the people. Of course, some of my experiences and everything, but I definitely want to impart, a spirit of love at the end of the day.
I like that. Yeah, I do. And your website, or where people can get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Right now you can get in touch with me at pkjonesii@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with me on Facebook under Philip K. Jones II. And then you can go to Nia Yana's website and find me there.
Oh, wonderful. That's right. And Jerry B., before we get to a track, and we're definitely going to do that, I want to play Hermeneutics from Endurance.
Wow. Well, thank
you.
Yes. Thank you. I'm still reeling over the artistry of these two gentlemen here. That's what
I know it. And I thank you for that. This is a wonderful introduction. I'm just going to be consumed with Stephen and Philip from now on, thanks to you. I had enough work, and now I have to be consumed with these two wonderful artists, so thank you very much. What would you like to say in parting, Jerry B.?
Well, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce these two great artists to your audience. And just so thankful for you always opening up yourself to Sound Doctrine whenever we're in Baltimore. And, our relationship has grown from Capital Jazz Fest to, a brother and sisterhood, and knowing that we're both walking in faith and trying to achieve the same things. It's just so thoughtful. I want to wish you a happy birthday. I will be calling you on the 16th. I hope you enjoy yourself and
thank you
in sharing your age. That was just wonderful, because you are carrying it very, very well. You're a sister of virtue, and I'm glad that you're in my life.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Look, we all have to decide at some point in our lives to truly walk what we're talking. And I just want to come clean. There's so much that has been a mystery concerning people. There's no more time for mystery. We have to start walking in faith and mean it. So
yeah.
that's that's what that's all about. And I thank you, Stephen Lee and Philip K. Jones, the second wonderful artists. God bless you both.
And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you once again, Jerry B. We will stay in touch, and we know for sure that God has arranged this little partnership on Blog Talk Radio. It's working out real well. God bless.
God bless. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, thank you to everyone who is Sound Doctrine, past, present, and future. Sound Doctrine is less of a band and more of a family, as you well know.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who contributed to Endurance, and particularly this song, Hermeneutics.
And what is it about this song? Tell me.
Well, hermeneutics is a theological term I discovered in Bible class as I was going to college that, you know, hermeneutics is the study of the Bible. And how can you exercise your faith if you don't know what the word is talking about? And so hermeneutics is that systematic approach to break it down so that you can really get the word inside you. So when you know it, you can live it. And so hermeneutics features Derek Dixie on drums. It features Feel the Beat on the bass. Keith McKelly on saxophone, Paul Dowds on guitar, Jim Kochenour and Cliff Barnes on keys. And it's one of my favorite cuts, so thank you for choosing it.
Absolutely. I knew that there was a reason for choosing this. I chose it because of the energy and something to carry with people as they leave the show, they leave the chat room, and you guys leave the show here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Here we are, and we're just going to leave it trail out, and that's going to be the end of the show. God bless you, Stephen. God bless you, Philip. God bless you, Jerry. And here we go. Yeah.